It's 1:15 here on Giant 90.9. That can only mean one thing. Your host, Jackson White, is alongside Owen Pulley in HD1 Studios, and it's time for the Sports Spotlight!
It never fails. It never fails. And welcome back to the Sports Spotlight. Every time we do the show, he always is talking over the intro, so I always end up turning his mic on just a tad early. But
it's a good intro.
Yeah, it's a good intro. It's Tuesday, so if you're a big fan of twos, it's Tuesday. So it's 2/22, year of 2022, and it's a Tuesday, which is the second day of the week. So lots of twos.
Could be the third, but so what do you think is the first day of the week? Monday or Sunday?
Monday.
I think Monday. Okay, good. That's what I think too.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at that either way. But we have a good show coming for you. I'm your host, Jackson White, here with the one and only Mr. Pulley himself, Owen Pulley. I have the hiccups really bad right now, so it's going to be a struggle to get through this. But lots of stuff happened since we last talked. The NBA All-Star Weekend, which was a success in some ways in a extremely bad dunk contest. We'll talk about that. The Aaron Rodgers, his future, he made a cryptic Instagram post last night, but he did come on the Pat McAfee show just a few minutes ago and said he's not announcing his future as of right now. But I have some thoughts about that, and I'm sure Owen does as well. Of course, we can't go a show without talking about Carson Wentz, as more drama is getting unveiled with him. And it's not even drama he's creating. It's the media drama, and he is just the media loves talking about him. It's not even funny. So we'll talk about that. The Hoosiers lose again to Ohio State in overtime last night. The Hoosiers had a 4-point lead with a minute left in the ball game and still lost in overtime. And now it's looking like the NIT tournament, the not-in-tournament,
hey,
is going to be for IU.
2022 March Madness, or not March Madness, 2022 NIT champions, Indiana Hoosiers.
Oh, yeah. That would be the honor. In all reality, they probably wouldn't win that either. Oh, my.
You need to get those under control, dude.
I don't know what's going on.
They said if IU plays, like, they have to play really well in the next, and they might be looking at, like, a 12 seed.
I can't even speak. But, yeah, that's something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. They are.
You got the hiccups. I got the sniffles. Man, what's going on?
I don't know. But IU, I don't know what's going on with them. They beat Purdue and they lose. Yeah, they had to play basketball.
They beat Purdue and then have a spiraling downhill of freak craziness.
Yeah, now they're struggling. But racing is back. The Daytona 500 was this past weekend. And IndyCar is coming back very soon as well. So lots of racing. If you're a racing fan, racing is coming back in more. But let's get into NBA. Oh, my. I just cannot get these under control. But the NBA All-Star Weekend had some cool things.
Yeah. It's a pretty good All-Star Weekend.
So you had the celebrity game, Myles Garrett throwing down big slams.
Yeah. I didn't know I figured he could dunk, but I didn't know he could dunk.
MGK missing layups. Jack Harlow pulling up from deep. Oh, my. I cannot get it under control.
He's got the Tyler Hero in him. He made that one song about Tyler Hero, and now he's playing like him. Playing from deep. And then that team contest, the skills challenge was kind of weird. They had, like, the team would go. Like, last year, I remember watching Sabonis. He won it, you know. But it was, like, a 1v1, 8 people in a bracket. But now it's, like, a team thing. Did you see that? That was kind of weird.
So your winner in that competition is going to be the Cavs. They had the Cavs, the Antetokounmpos,
and
also had the rookies. So the Cavs had three players since it was in Cleveland: Evan Mobley, Darius Garland, and Jared Allen. They ended up winning this oddly skills challenge, and the Antetokounmpo brothers were also there with Giannis, Alex Antetokounmpo, and the Thonis.
Oh, is it not Kostas?
No, he's overseas.
I thought he was in the NBA. He was in the NBA for a little bit.
Yeah, he didn't re-sign with the Lakers. He's now overseas. But Alex, a guy who just got drafted in the G League now, is playing for the Raptors G League affiliate.
Did you see the Jared Allen meme about him being like a hoodie and sweatpants? And everybody was like, oh, look at the people were clowning him for his outfit, and then he was like, yeah, I have a basic fit. And then somebody's like, yeah, at least he doesn't look like this. And it was like Russ in a dress going into the
yeah,
stadium.
I mean, he was just in a casual dress. There's
and
no
everybody
reason.
Was like clowning him for being in a basic fit. It was literally just a hoodie and sweatpants or jeans or whatever it was.
Yeah, I don't know what they want him to wear, but get it, I guess. But also the other people that were in that skills competition, Scotty Barnes, Cade Cunningham, and Josh Giddey. And
Josh Giddey, something different. He might be really, I don't know. He's putting up like really good stats right now. Like
he plays good basketball. I think he's going to be a really good player.
I just don't know how like he's going to pan out, you know. And his TikToks are funny too.
Oh, he is an elite TikToker.
What do you mean, breathe, breathe?
Yeah, but the Cavs ended up winning that skills competition. They won off a half court shot by, I do believe Darius Garland. So no, Evan Mobley actually hit that half court shot to win it. So it was a different concept, but I kind of like it.
I did too. It was good.
I do kind of miss the old type of skills competition, kind of like where they go one-on-one and it's not team-oriented because more different players from different teams get to compete instead of the Antetokounmpos, the Cavs, and the rookies. I mean, there's so many teams that were not represented that could be. So that's something is a tad questionable, but I like it. And then you go to Saturday night. Obviously, the Rising Stars game was that tournament there was kind of interesting. The Pacers, Tyrese Halliburton got second, I don't believe. I didn't watch that, so I don't know who won.
I'm going to be honest. I haven't watched a single thing of that. It was like...
It was basically just rookies and second-year players.
I know what the Rising Stars game, but we were going to watch... Me and my friends were going to watch the skills challenge and everything like that, dunk contest and three-point contest at B-Dubs, and then we ended up watching something else on TV, so... So whatever. Yeah. I saw that Karl Anthony Towns won the 3-point contest, and then Obi Toppin won the dunk contest on some.
Yes, we're getting to there.
Random dunks. Second.
But my hiccups are just killing me. But yes, a 3-point competition happened, and your winner was Karl Anthony Towns, the first ever center to win the 3-point competition. So, shout out to a center winning the 3-point competition. And Towns is a guy who is a knockdown shooter from deep. And he's just one of those good, really talented players. And, hey, that was a really good 3-point competition. Oh, my. I am really struggling right now. I don't know. But then your dunk competition, Obi Toppin won. But I'm just going to put that out there. This dunk competition was simply the worst dunk competition I've ever seen in my life. It was terrible. They had so many missed dunks. I mean, every player took like 80 times to make their dunk. It was bad. I don't know. At this point, I don't even know if the dunk competition should be a thing anymore.
I wish it was still big like it was in like the 2000s and early 2010s. Like Aaron Gordon when he got a snubbed All-Star, or not All-Star, dunk contest in 2016 when Zach LaVine won.
The problem is with his dunk competitions is stars are not competing.
Yeah, it's all guys that don't want to play and don't want to get hurt and everything.
I just wish a LeBron James-type-esque player would do it. Like a Ja Morant. Ja Morant, you know he can throw down.
I still remember when What's-His-Name did the dunk contest last year on the Pacers. I can't think of his name.
Who?
There's a Pacer, was he a rookie, that did the dunk contest last year? I cannot think of his name.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I forget his name as well.
He's not a Pacer anymore, is he?
No, he got cut. He was a second-round pick.
I can't think. The Duke guy. He went to Duke.
Yeah, he went to Duke. Oh, my. I cannot remember his name.
I'll do some research real quick.
Yeah, his name is drawing blank. Cactus Stanley.
Cassius Stanley, yep. Yeah. He's all right.
No.
Then he got cut. He wasn't terrible, but he wasn't good. He's not good. He wasn't good.
There's a reason he's not in the NBA right now. He's better than me, of course. He's an NBA player.
I'll beat him in a 1v1.
No, okay.
Cassius Stanley, if you're listening, I was fine. Just kidding. Oh, I respect you and everything.
But, I mean, every player, if you made it to the NBA, you're just a...
If you made it to the league, you're in the league.
You know, like you're top of the top.
Yeah, but
yeah, you don't just really get stars like Obi Toppin. He's not going to be anything. Cole Anthony could one day. His dunks were terrible. Jalen Green could be a star, top pick in the draft. He's young.
I miss the NBA Live 2000 dunks where they did like. Have you seen the one where he did like the Kobe 720 like windmill in the Xbox game?
Mm-hmm.
And then like I remember Troy Dan was playing a game with Kobe and he like jumped over a car and dunked it. I thought those were funny. I want to see Jordan Kilgannon in one of those dunk contests. Have you seen Jordan Kilgannon? He's like 6 foot tall and can dunk on like 12 foot rims.
Oh, yeah, dude's nuts. I was watching a show back in the day. It was on TNT after the like, games.
Oh, I remember. And it was like Shaq, Charles Barkley, and all those guys like analyzed. And then it was like in this like random like street garage or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember watching the YouTube highlights of that guy.
Yeah, that was what it was. But this time, I don't know. In the All-Star game, Team LeBron ended up beating Team Durant 163-160.
LeBron is 5-0.
Yeah,
in
LeBron is 5-0. LeBron hit a game-winning buzzer beater.
Fade away
to win it. Steph Curry, 50 points, 16 three-pointers. Oh, my.
Eight of them were from half court, I think. So did you see the one where he turned around, like, mid-shot?
He did that twice, and that Steph Curry is just insane. And that proves it right there. That guy is the real deal. But we're going to keep a little bit NBA, and we're going to talk about a mock draft. The NBA mock draft. 4.0 NBC Sports. As of right now, the Pacers would have the fifth pick in the draft.
Can I ask you a question, Jackson, real quick?
Yeah.
It kind of has to do with the mock draft, getting into the mock draft. So after the seasons, or now that All-Star Week is drawing to the end, we're halfway through the season, or over halfway through the season, how do you think the Pacers are going to finish out this season? I know they're going to keep going into rebuild mode, but what do you think is going to go with that?
Oh, I mean, it's just they're going to continue to tank. I mean, that's obvious. From the game plan that Carlisle puts out there, they're not planning on winning games. I think they're probably going to win maybe 5 of their last 22, maybe 7. I could see them moving around there. I'd like to see them lose them all, honestly. I went to a Pacer game. They won versus the Wizards.
I'd like to see them go first pick overall. That'd be nice.
Well, of course, but they're not going to get there.
No. Who's in last place right now? Isn't it the it's not the Kings.
This
the Kings are pretty low.
Says it's the Orlando Magic.
The Magic. I thought they were pretty low. I didn't know how low was low.
Yeah, the Orlando Magic are not that good. But with the number one pick in the draft, according to NBC's mock draft, the Orlando Magic are going to take Pablo Barciano out of Duke.
Who?
Yeah.
Who?
The 6'10 freshman power forward. I've seen mock drafts where this guy goes to the Pacers. He's a really good player. They compare him to Jason Tatum and Carmelo Anthony.
Two really good players.
So, we'll see.
I don't understand these guys that are only going one and dones. Like,
every player's doing
that. I remember, what's his name? The old Purdue player.
Mm-hmm.
You know who I'm talking about? I don't know. He didn't go one and one. I think he went 2 years. Romeo Langford went one and done. He wasn't very good in the NBA, or he isn't very good in the NBA.
Yeah, he's just kind of bouncing around.
Yeah, just some guys that went one and done. And then Zion Williamson, he's obviously, well, he's a battling injuries, but one and done, not very good.
I mean, every good player, Anthony Davis, John Wall, they've all gone one and one.
Yeah, but I don't know. It just seems like lately a lot of these guys are going one and done or 2 years in college. They're only going freshman and sophomore year.
Yeah. It's
and then declaring.
Who wouldn't? It's free money. You go to the NBA, you got to play on an NBA team, you have to take classes, and you're getting paid. Who would want to stay in college? Just being honest.
But you can hone your skill more, be better, and then make more money.
Money, money. Money's money.
Until these guys go to the G League and they're making $20,000 a year just off their salary.
G League guys make more than that.
I thought they made less money. I thought they made way less.
Less than $20,000?
Or no, less than whatever. I thought they made $20,000, $30,000.
No, they make more than that. I don't know. I don't know the exact price, but they make decent money. I would assume, I think, like 120.
I thought it was like, maybe I'm thinking of minor league baseball.
Yeah.
Probably not. Minor league baseball, they don't get paid anything.
Yeah,
but we're in a basketball segment, so.
Yeah. But with the second pick, it has the Detroit Pistons, and they're taking Jabari Smith, the Auburn freshman. He's a 6'10 forward, 210 pounds. He's a good player. He's lengthy. They say he's the total package. So, yeah. And then with the third overall pick, you have the Houston Rockets. And they're going to take Chet Holmgren, a 7-footer out of Gonzaga, the freshman, 195 pounds.
What, I know that sounds kind of weird, but what grade is Drew Timmy in? Is he a junior?
I would assume he's a senior.
He's a senior, all right.
He's not going to go anywhere in the top.
No, he's going to be a really good college player, not a good NBA player.
Yeah, kind of like a, what's his name? He got drafted by the Pistons last year. He was on Michigan.
I was going to say Cade Cunningham, but that's not.
Yeah, he went number one. He was also one of the... excuse me.
He's going to be like a Luka Garza.
That's the name I was looking for.
He went to Iowa.
Yes, yes, Iowa. Luka Garza went to Iowa.
A lot of guys like Yogi Ferrell was pretty good. Didn't do a ton in the NBA.
He bounced around. He was on the Mavericks there for a minute. The Nets, all that.
Good role player.
Yeah, bench player.
And he's a good IU player.
Of course. excuse me. And then the fourth overall pick, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Got you excited there.
I thought it was going to be Pacers.
This mock draft has them taking Purdue superstar.
Jaden Ivey.
The sophomore out of Purdue.
I really hope the Pacers take him.
Of course.
Well, I just don't know. I think that they have, I don't know. I think they have the guard kind of not really filled out, but kind of ready. You know, they have Halliburton, who can play the forward position, but can also play shooting guard. They also have Buddy Hield and Brogdon, but Brogdon's not probably going to stay. But they have quite a bit of guards.
Well, that's the thing you got to think about. You have a guy like Ivy. He's only 6'4".
Yeah.
Is he done growing? I don't know.
That's really a point guard position.
Well, no, it's about a shooting guard. He doesn't play on the ball too much. He can't. So that's what you think about. Do the Pacers make a move? You draft Jaden Ivey. Now you have Dorte's only 6'4 as well. 6'5, right. Actually. So you have a 6'1 in Halliburton. Then you have a Dorte. And then you have a Ivy. And just that's not really that big. The Pacers need more of a bigger three, possibly. I ran a poll on the Twitter, and I said, who does Jaden Ivey remind you of? Lots of people told me, I made the poll, does he remind you of a young Paul George? Because as I saw that all over Twitter after that big dunk. And then someone commented and said he looks like Ja Morant. I could see that as well. But if Jaden Ivey was 6'9", I could see the more of the right there with Paul George. Because, I mean, him and Paul George, they could both slam. Especially whenever Paul George is younger.
I think, yeah, Ja Morant, not a huge guy, but can slam home.
Oh, yeah, I think he's more of a Ja Morant-esque player. But it's just, he's only 6'4", and that could hurt his potential to coming here. But, I mean, if he's there at 5 for the Pacers, I think he's the obvious pick. I mean, he's just such a talent. He'd get the crowd there. He's an Indiana guy.
If he's available on the board, the Pacers definitely draft him. But if he's not, well, can't get him.
Well, of course.
I know, but I think that if the Pacers want to get him, they need to tank a little bit more and get, like, the 3C. Well, the lottery's still, you know.
And then.
Hopefully they don't get, like, a 10 seed. I will be upset if they get, like, the 10th overall pick. Because it's a lot.
You never know this team. But hopefully they just continue to lose and they keep on falling. But the 5th pick, Indiana Pacers. Drum roll, please. They have them taking Jalen Duren. Who? a 6'10 center. Because the Pacers are going to, of course, draft another center for some reason. The Memphis freshman. He's a good player.
I've mastered the algorithm that the Pacers have over the years. They go 42-40, 41-41, whatever. Finish fourth or fifth in the East. Get swept in the first round. Then they draft a tall, unathletic big man who's like 6'10". And then he ends up sucking.
So here we go. This is what they have. As is, they say his size and strength is unmatched. Okay, they say if he was drafted in the 1980s, he'd be the best player ever. Well, the best player drafted. But they say this kid does not shoot threes, and he shoots 57% from the line. Why would the Indiana Pacers draft another center who cannot shoot? Sabonis could shoot better than this guy, by the way, by far. He can't shoot free throws. He can't shoot. He's only 6'10", so he's not even tall. Why? I don't understand. I'm not saying that the Pacers are going to draft this guy. I doubt they will. If they do, I don't know what I'm going to do.
If they do, I'll stop being a Pacers fan.
I don't know. Maybe he's the next amazing center. Jerome B couldn't shoot threes coming out of Kansas either.
Michael Jordan. He's the next Michael Jordan. Just because we said he's bad, 6'10". He's going to be... Just because he's bad, he's going to be the next Michael Jordan. He's going to take that personally.
I hope he does. Oh, I hope if we do draft him, he becomes the next. Who knows? But there's no way that they draft a 6'10 center who cannot shoot and pair him with Miles Turner. That would just be the funniest thing ever. They go from having a center with Miles with another center who cannot shoot with Miles. There's no way this happens. The Pacers are either going to I'm assuming the Pacers are going to take either a 4 or a 3. Maybe a 2, and maybe kind of move around some things. There's no I do not see in any imagine they take a center or a point guard, but they have proved me wrong because they picked that guy named Goga, and I do not like him. Don't get me started on Goga.
I want to see you get started on Goga.
I'm not talking about I'm not talking about that guy. Okay, I've had too many rants about him, and I'm not getting started. But
tall and athletic Georgian from Georgia.
It doesn't matter. Stop talking about him. I don't want to say his name. I'm in a good mood. I'm not talking about no Goga.
Okay.
No Goga.
No Gogurt.
No Gogurt. Nothing. Okay, I hope he sits the bench the remainder of the season.
He
actually
basically does.
They can play him, so we suck, because he is not good. And if he returns next season and gets minutes, I don't know what I'm going to do.
I might, yeah. There's a lot of things. If Pacers don't, like, if they don't play the season perfect, and they don't make the finals, and they don't sweep the playoffs, and they don't sweep the regular season, and sweep the finals, and win the finals, and Rick Carlisle gets Coach of the Year, and everybody gets MVP, I'm not going to be a Pacers fan anymore.
Well, that's what kind of what Pacers Twitter sounds like, especially with the Colts, and we'll talk about them in a minute.
Colts need to go 17-0. Wentz needs to throw for
80
touchdowns, a million yards,
and he needs to become the next Peyton Manning.
He's the next Peyton Manning. They win 7 Super Bowls in one season. Jim Irsay becomes the greatest owner of all time. Well,
Jim Irsay needs to sign every single free agent who is 35 and over, who has
Chris
not
Godwin.
Performed in 3 years. I will like the Chris Godwin
signing.
That's
a good signing.
But whenever they say they, I don't know.
Aaron Rodgers.
Hey, he was wearing Colts blue in the Pat McAfee interview.
He was wearing Colts blue.
I'll leave everybody with that.
He has done that a few times. But at this day and age, he mentioned whenever he was watching the Packers have to re-sign Davante Adams. He said, hopefully they do that. I don't think he's going to come here. I mean, that's beyond it. But going back to the Pacers, we're going to go through over the next couple picks real quick, and then we'll talk about the Colts. But I just don't see them drafting the center. I hope he proves me wrong and is a good player, but I just don't see it happening. But the Pacers have a really bright future right now, but it can all be messed up off this one draft pick. If they just sell on this draft pick, they could lose. They could be back in the position they were last year. Obviously, they have Halliburton, and yeah, they have good pieces. They have Dorte, young pieces, yeah, yada, yada. They have to get this draft pick right. They have to do it. If they want to be a competitive team, they have to do it, or they're going to be doing the same thing next season where they're sitting and they're losing and they're going to get another draft pick. And if they draft two straight centers in two straight years, I don't know what I'm going to do. Just call them the center. They can have all five centers. Go get the one for the rest of the team.
That's centers. The whole thing with Giannis is that small market team, they had to draft a superstar to be really good.
I'm not saying you have to draft a superstar, but you have to draft a talented player who will put fans in the seats and help you win.
Yeah.
And Coach Carlisle for the Pacers, he's a good coach, and he's good at drafting, so hopefully he hits on this pick. But, I mean,
yeah, we could have.
I know Coach Carlisle doesn't like to place big centers. It's obvious. He wasn't a fan of Porzingis in Dallas, and obviously you know where he's at now. So, you know, Washington, obviously he was there after Carlisle, but it was a fan of there. He didn't like that pairing with Luka, and he ended up getting moved. But you have to get a three or a four. In all reality, I think a four is probably the best pick here.
We do have a three.
Who?
TJ Warren.
Oh, well, he's in the bubble. But maybe if he ever comes back, we'll see. But we will go now to the sixth pick, the San Antonio Spurs, and then Shandon Sharp. Kind of reminds
Sheridan
me of Sheridan Sharp. His distant cousin, though.
Shannon Sharp.
But this kid is a 6'6 guard out of Kentucky. I'm the freshman. And
Sheridan's like a 6'5 guard out of Ben Davis.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
So the Sharp, he's a guy who...
Hold on, read the report on Sharp.
He's a late entry out of the mock draft. Until this month, he was playing in high school. Yeah. And he was actually supposed to be in the 2020 class. So he was supposed to be a senior this year, and then he enrolled early this spring in Kentucky, so he has entered the NBA draft. So that is something. So a high school player practically is going to be in the draft.
Sheridan Sharp.
It looks like his name. It's like Shandon Sharp, but that's kind of similar. They were the same number.
Five?
Yeah.
So. Nice. Good number. It's a good number. Yeah. Nowhere number five. That's a good number.
But number seven. The New Orleans Pelicans, they're saying they're going to take A.J. Griffin, the freshman out of Duke. 6'6". He's a guy who's been out with injury most of the season. He's a good shooter, and he's a shot maker. They have the Sacramento Kings taking a guard,
Benedict Mathurin. Is he like 1784 revolutionary or 1774 Revolutionary War colonel or something.
I don't know. Benedict, he's from Canada.
Wait, what's his last name?
Marthrin.
Benedict Marthrin.
Benedict Marthrin.
Marthrin?
Marthrin.
Marathon?
I don't know. I have to hear someone say that one. I probably am messing it up so bad.
With the 7th pick in the NBA draft.
8th.
8th pick.
According to this mock draft.
The New Orleans
Pelicans. But he's from Canada.
You said Pelicans? Pelicans? Yeah. Okay.
He's from Canada. He was a freshman last season. And yada yada. He shoots 80% from the line. It's the only shot they showed. Oh, my. Excuse me. The Trailblazers, a team that's been tanking, they have them taking Kennedy Chandler. And, of course, they have them taking a point guard because that makes sense. It's not like they have Anthony Simons and Damian Lillard on the roster. Whoever makes these mock drafts got to figure it out because this is wrong. Why would the Trailblazers take a point guard when you have two point guards on the roster? Simons right now is averaging 21 when Dame is hurt.
I saw a thing.
And Damian Lillard is in the top 75 players of all time, according to the NBA. Why would they take a point guard?
I don't know. I saw a TikTok, and it was like LeBron in 2003, and it was like one rookie of the year, zero finals appearances, zero rings, whatever. And then it was like 10 finals appearances, five or four titles, whatever, how many he has. And then it was like all this, and it was like 2013, Dame, rookie of the year, zero accolades. 2022, Dame, rookie of the year, zero accolades. But yeah.
Yeah. And then you have the 10th player in this draft. You have Atlanta Hawks taking a G League player, G League Ignite, Dyson Daniels. So he's a guy 6'6", a guard. I don't know why Atlanta would take another guard, but you never know. You never know. So, and then there's other players like Jaden Hardy, a guy who is another G League guy. He's the guy I could see the Pacers possibly targeting. He's only 6'4 as well. And then you have other guys, Johnny Davis, who's a mix around here, Kendall Brown, Keegan Murray. I mean, all these guys are kind of moved around. Ty Washington, Patrick Baldwin Jr. is a guy who I saw going number one in mock drafts last season. He's now dropped to 16 in this one. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how the NBA draft goes. But we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back talking about the Indianapolis Colts' Carson Wentz. It seems like this story's never ending. Hopefully it ends soon. Either he's going to stay or go. We'll have to find out. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Ask yourself what you will miss more, your children or cigarettes. As long as I can remember, my mother smoked. She died from lung cancer when I was 16. I could not take the chance of continuing smoking and not being here for my daughter. I know how much I needed my mom still, and I didn't realize it until I had lost her.
You're not just quitting for yourself. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
If doctors told us that we'd made a breakthrough on COVID-19, we would rejoice. We'd feel hope that we could live our lives again, get back to work, back to doing what we want. Well, masks are a ticket to that freedom. We can help protect others and save lives by covering our noses and mouths, which is how the virus mainly spreads. Until there's a vaccine, grab the breakthrough that's already here. When we're out, it's masks on. A message to help keep you safe.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
And welcome back to the Sports Spotlight. I'm your host, Jackson. I'm here alone now as Owen Pooley leaves me. He always leaves me early for this math, I think, or history. I don't know. But school, like, who does that? But I'm now switching topics now to the Indianapolis Colts. And, of course, if you're a big fan on Twitter, at least Colts Twitter, this is only the thing that's been talked about for the past couple weeks, is Carson Wentz, a quarterback who threw 27 touchdowns, rushed for one touchdown. He threw 7 interceptions, fumbled 6 times, lost 3 of them. So, he's a guy who fell apart in the final 2 weeks of the season. The Colts ended up missing the playoffs, going 9-8 after starting the season at, I believe, a 1-4 record. They came back and almost made the playoffs, beat top teams as the Arizona Cardinals and the New England Patriots and the Buffalo Bills by a big margin. And the Indianapolis Colts ended up losing to the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Oakland Raiders to end the season to miss the NFL playoffs for this past NFL season. It's now the offseason, and Carson Wentz is a guy who was in lots of rumors. Could he be going to Pittsburgh? Could he be going to the Commanders, the new NFL team in Washington? Not new NFL team, new team name. The Commanders. Could he be going other places? Could he be a flop? Could they swap him for Russell Wilson? Throw in some picks and some other things? Go to Seattle? I don't know. Who will he bleed with next season? I don't know, but I'm going to have to make a bet here. I'm going to say it right now. I do believe, at least I hope, that he's here next season in the blue and white. I know a lot of people will be like, why, no. Please don't have Carson Wentz return here next season. But I'm going to die on this cliff. I don't understand why people are making this choice. Is you have a quarterback in Carson Wentz who's in his upper 20s. He still has lots of years to improve. And last season, in the offseason, he got hurt. There was no training camp. Lots of COVID stuff was still going on. And he didn't even play in the preseason. His first game as a Colt was in the regular season, week one, against the Seattle Seahawks, who was still in win-now mode. Seattle's a good team. I don't care what you say. They have a good team, a good roster. Russell Wilson goes down. They went to tank mode. That's why the record shows they were bad. The Colts, I think there's only really a couple options on the table. I'm really scared one of them's going to happen, and I hope it doesn't. You have the option of keeping Carson Wentz in the system. You keep him for at least one more season. This is the option I would have presumed the Colts would do, but I have no choices in that front office. And as it's been reported, the Colts are going to move on from Carson Wentz in the number two. But I hope they do not. I hope they keep him. But at this point, I do not know if it's even possible to keep him, as much as the media has physically destroyed Carson Wentz. You know that guy does not like pressure, and the Colts fans and media has put so much pressure on him. It's looking like even if he does stay, he will fold. And that's a pain on the Colts media out there. They're looking just like a Philadelphia media last year. And it's terrible because I just don't understand it. And I've seen lots of people. Some agree with me, some don't. Of course, they always think the grass isn't always greener on the other side. And I think that's what the Colts are going to see. Because in all reality, I've been saying this now for the past couple weeks, really the only upgrade to quarterback for the Colts is possible. You have Aaron Rodgers. Who knows? It looks like he's going to stay in Green Bay. You have Russell Wilson. Probably going to stay in Seattle. He removed the Seahawks out of his Twitter, if that has anything to do with it. You're going to have to pay a lot to get him, though. Probably two first rounders, maybe three, maybe two, and maybe two firsts and a second, and Carson Wentz on top. I mean, you're going to pay a lot for either one of those quarterbacks. And then you have option three of the quarterbacks not named Carson Wentz starting for your team next season. Jimmy Garoppolo, a guy that lots of people around here for some reason want Jimmy Garoppolo, and he's the guy who is no better than Carson Wentz. No better. None. He has playoff wins. He's made it to the bowl. A NFC championship game, but his defense on offense, Deebo Samuel carried him. In all reality, you look at the weapons that Jimmy Garoppolo had last season compared to Carson Wentz weapons, and the 49ers were the way better team when it comes to offense. They had a better offensive line, in all reality. You know, the Colts have an amazing left guard. They don't have an amazing left tackle. They have no left tackle. That's a problem. I think that is the most important position on the offensive line. You're blindsided for your quarterback. Obviously, right tackle is probably number two, and then left guard, right guard, center, in all reality. Even though the center is important because you have to know the cues and when to snap the ball. Every offensive lineman is important, but the left tackle is probably the most important of the five. It depends how you look at it, but I would say that. Colts have no left tackle. The Colts have one receiver who went over 1,000 yards, Michael Pittman Jr., a young star. He's going to be really good one day, Michael Pittman Jr. is. Yes, I think he's going to be really good. And, he had 1,000 this season. But the Colts have no receivers other than that. They have Jonathan Taylor in the backfield, generational talent. Get him a good quarterback, keep Carson Wentz, and just improve the weapons. Our Jonathan Taylor is going to explode, have even a better season than he did. Great player, Nyheim Hines, great backup running back, and catch the ball out of the backfield. I think they need to put him more in the offense because he can really be that type of Darren Sproles-type-esque player for the Colts if they use him to the abilities I think he has. But at the receiver and tight end position, I think Jack Doyle and T.Y. Hilton are gone. Let's just presume they are because they didn't really have that big of an impact last season. Jack Doyle had some. T.Y. Hilton had a couple big catches, a touchdown here and there. But, man, probably best if he's not on the roster next season in all reality. Colts need to address those positions. They need to address left tackle and weapons. They have to get a better tight end, a tight end who can catch the ball. Molly Cox is a good receiver, a good tight end, excuse me, but I don't know if he's a guy who can start 17 games. I don't know. Obviously, he's had really, I mean, there was a time where he caught a touchdown in five consecutive games and then didn't have like five catches the rest of the season. So, I don't know. Jack Doyle was hurt whenever he was doing that, so they kind of slowed down his reps. They have a rookie now in his second year in Gregson. I don't know how to say it, but he's a guy who's a good player, but fourth round draft pick. Let's see if he does anything. You need a good tight end. You need a good receiver. You need a competent receiver too. Michael Pittman Jr. A receiver one, you could say. Chris Godwin, maybe. There's other receivers out there. Maybe draft a guy. They do not have a first rounder since Carson Wentz did play every snap for the Colts this season, and they won. So. I don't know. I think you should go out and get a receiver and or two or maybe three. Bring in a tight end, improve your offensive line at the places you need. Right guard and left tackle, probably your two biggest spots. I think right guard, they have Chris Reed, a guy who most likely will be starting there next season. Left tackle, though, it looks like Eric Fisher possibly going to come back. I hope not. We'll see. But, yeah, this Colts team, I mean, they need to figure it out. I think their best bet is keeping Carson Wentz if Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers is not going to be walking through that door. I think there's just no better quarterback out there that is better than Carson Wentz or has the potential Carson Wentz has, because you don't know what he can do in his second year in the system, because always first-year quarterbacks have a way better second year than they do first year in a system. It is a proven fact, so we will see. But I think if Carson – he comes out and plays terrible next season, I think him and Reich both go, and I'd be okay with that. But Carson Wentz has made plays. Obviously, you look at the stats, and no fourth quarter winning drives. He won that game versus Arizona. He won us some games. He lost us some games. The defense also lost us some games by blowing big leads, and that's on Eberflus's part because he plays a bend don't break defense in the fourth quarter. And I feel sorry for Bears fans, but it's Bears fans. I mean, you can feel sorry as you want for them. No one, I mean, they're in a tough spot. They really are. Same with Lions fans. You got to give them credit for being a fandom for those teams. But I think your best bet is staying with Carson Wentz. We'll see. I just really hope Jimmy Garoppolo is not the starting quarterback for the Colts next season. I am fearing that he's going to be. And there's all kinds of fans. Oh, yeah, give us Garoppolo. He's been to the Super Bowl. Yeah, his team was better. And his team was way better than the Colts were. And he has weapons. We don't have a Deebo Samuel. We don't have a George Kittle. I mean, we don't have a Williams on the left tackle, Tyron Williams. I mean, we do not have those pieces. We have a better running back, but they have a really good running back by committee over there in San Fran. They have other weapons at receiver. Ayuk came on at the end of the year. We don't have a number two. We don't have a Debo. I mean, and Carson Wentz had a better statistical season than Garoppolo. And the Colts offense was top. I mean, the Colts offense was like up there in points scored. I mean, the Colts offense seemed not to be the problem all season long until the final two games. If you erase the final two games from the season, everyone still thinks Carson Wentz is the guy. So, if that tells you anything, but we'll see. We'll see what they do. It's not good because it does feel like Carson Wentz is out the door. But we'll see. We'll see. Maybe they pull something out of their hat. I don't know. All chips are on the table, according to Mr. Ursay, but hey, we will have to see, but maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. But racing happened this weekend. The Daytona 500, the first official race of the NASCAR season. Austin Cindric won. He's the guy who got his first career win at the biggest race of them all, the Daytona 500. So shout out to him. Bubba Wallace, he finished second. So for the Team Jordan, Michael Jordan was there, ended up going to the ceremony for the 75 team after. So there we go, Bubba Wallace. And Chase Briscoe finished third. Ryan Blaney and then Eric Almirola finished fifth. So that's a top five no one would predict it to go to the Daytona 500. And then now IndyCar starts this weekend at St. Petersburg. And that's going to be a good race. That's going to be on NBC Sunday. So the 27th of February. So, hey, and racing is back, and obviously we know IndyCar takes a big break after this race. They don't race till March 20th at Texas. But racing is back, and one thing that is not back is Indiana Hoosiers basketball, and this will be the last topic of the day. The Hoosiers lost another close game last night versus the Ohio State team, and so the Buckeyes, they defeated the Hoosiers in overtime, 80-69. You're like, that's not an overtime score. Yeah, the Buccaneers, and not the Buccaneers, the Buckeyes scored 17 points in overtime to 6. Officiating was not good from what I've heard, but I mean, this Hoosiers team is the same team they've always been. They don't have a primary ball handler. They don't have shooters, and that's what hurts them. It's kind of hard to see the Hoosiers go down this hole. They're now 16-10. They can't win in the Big Ten. It's simple as that. They can't run on the road. They lost to the Buckeyes. In all reality, they should have won. They were up by 4 in the, going into the final minute, but they lost. So tough there. They pick it back up this Thursday against Maryland. We'll talk about that this Thursday as well. But I don't know. The Hoosiers might be in the NIT. We'll have to find out. But I have to wrap up the show a little bit short today, as I have to go to an interview with the head basketball coach of the Ben Davis Giants called Conversations with Carlisle. And you can hear it on Audio Boom and all your podcast services, with also this show as well. So if you want to hear the uptick on Ben Davis basketball, who got a big win over Cathedral last Friday night, I'll be talking to him here in a few couple minutes, and that will be uploaded around the same time this will be uploaded as well. But thanks for joining me on the Sports Spotlight. For Owen Pooley, I've been Jackson White. We'll see you next Thursday, and we got a big one to talk about. Maybe Aaron Rodgers drops some hints on the Pat McAfee show. I'm going to watch highlights of that. Maybe a quarterback gets traded. Who knows? NBA basketball picking back up. IU plays this Thursday as well. Racing, IndyCar back as well. Sports picking back up. It's always kind of hard after the Super Bowl. But lots of sports still going on. I'll see you then this Thursday.